I find more people in church to be boring than you should expect to. I find many worship services boring. Following Jesus with all your heart, soul, mind, and body is not boring. But sometimes those who say they do are a drag.
I've been dreaming about leaving. Pack my bags and head out west, straight for the wilderness. Wake me up in time to see the gold sunrise. Get me out of Tennessee, I'll figure it out eventually. Well, I've been here for so long, walking down the same road, and I'm tired of singing the same old song. Everybody knows that it never goes just the way you think it should. Maybe I misunderstood. I've gotta find the end, this cycle that I've been in. I'll brave a new path from here, where it leads, I don't care. Well, I've been here for so long, walking down the same road.
Hey everybody, it is great to be back. I actually stepped away a little longer than anticipated from the table. And you have just heard Becca Jordan's song, Same Old. It was this song that first introduced me to her music. The message of the song resonated with me and still does. And we will exit today with another of Becca's songs that we've already introduced in an earlier episode, Everywhere I Go. She's a creative talent. I encourage you to check out her musical expressions wherever you stream music. And I just want to say thank you, Becca, for sharing your gifts with us here at Redemption's Table. Today, I want to share a little bit about my 10-day vacation to Yosemite National Park. I knew my life was out of round. My voice walks with a limp. My gait lately is that of someone three sheets to the wind. Don't get me wrong, it has been a joyous year. But rhythm-wise, the wobble in the merry-go-round has yet to level out. So I was past ready for vacation back in October. When I boarded the airplane to fly from Birmingham, Alabama to Reno, Nevada, and then on to Yosemite National Park, I spent part of the flight filling out a report card on myself. I listed subjects like sleep, exercise, my schedule, writing, my calling, my mood. In my self-assessment overall, I was barely making a passing grade. There was more than one something there that needed to change. Now, here's a discovery I've made in the past 10 years or so. Whenever you take a step towards rejuvenation, towards vacation, towards Eden, the beauty of the wilderness and solitude, whenever you make a move towards a place or a time that you know God will use to bring life to you, will bring you closer to God, will fill you with deeper joy, author John Eldridge says it this way. He says, every joy we have is deeply opposed by our enemy. Our adversaries, which the Bible identifies as the world, our flesh, and the devil, come against us. But Jesus loves you. God, who created you, loves you. And Satan hates the ones Jesus loves. That's you, my friend. And that's me. So I've come to expect a little bit of turbulence or flat-out spiritual warfare whenever I attempt to break away from the spin, from the normal routine. And this trip was no exception. An image came to my mind early on from the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark, the very first Indiana Jones adventure from 1981. There's a scene in the movie where Indy discovers the location of the Lost Ark of the Covenant and then is immediately captured by Nazis, and he and Marion are tossed into the Well of the Souls, which has become a snake pit. He and Marion are left in the pit to die. He uses his whip to climb a stone pillar and topples and crashes it through a wall right into the Well of the Souls, this giant room filled with skeletal remains of mummies. They've escaped the snakes, but they have to pass through this room full of death with all these skeletons snagging them as they labor to freedom. That's what breaking away on the first travel day of vacation feels like, what it felt like for me here back in October. One of the businesses I am involved in, my phone had not rang in 3 weeks before the trip, but within 48 hours of being gone, I had half a dozen emails, voicemails, text, trying to pull me back in. If you have tuned in to the table this year, you've probably heard me riff about the three-day effect. A lot of scientific research has been conducted to substantiate the theory that it takes us about 3 days to break away from our normal patterns, thought processes, our normal routine before our brain resets. It's called the three-day effect. And what is so important about having your brain reset? Well, according to scientific research, when our brain resets, we become more creative and more productive after the reset. And here's something else I've observed. The longer it takes me to let go of all the stuff, the task, the problems left behind, the further gone I've pushed it past the takeout point before I left. I remember one time back in October of 2020, and it was 2020, it took me 15 minutes sitting before a gushing waterfall in northern Alabama before the angst and the stress cleared from my mind. 15 minutes. Anyone who knows me would be alarmed at that. Because normally I can go from uptight to awe and wonder in a matter of seconds. That was 2020. On this vacation, I know exactly where I was when the three-day effect hit me. I was hiking in Yosemite, somewhere between Taft Point and Sentinel Dome, when all of a sudden my entire body let out a contented sigh, a collective breath, a letting go of all the weight I had been carrying. And I became aware of it the moment it happened. And after that point, that spirit stayed with me the remainder of the vacation. Now you may be wondering, why do you share this on your podcast? I share it for this reason. Whenever we share our stories, our unvarnished thoughts and emotions with others, it's not about sharing your story to talk about yourself. No, it's putting it out there to others with the idea that you may hear my story, or I may hear your story, or the story of one of our special guests, and something said causes me to realize, huh, you thought that way too? You've experienced that as well? And here I thought I was the only one. I thought I was the only one who struggles with that. I thought I was the only one who felt that way. I hiked to Taft Point 2 times while I was in Yosemite. Taft Point is directly across the Yosemite Valley from Eagle Peak in El Capitan. This promontory juts out over Yosemite with the valley floor 3,500 feet below. And the first time I hiked to Taft Point, I didn't do something I had an impulse to do. I looked over the edge on my stomach, and I have to say this was before the 3-day effect kicked in, but I didn't do what I had an impulse to do, and so I hiked back to Taft Point a second time a few days later with the purpose of sitting on the edge of that point. And I wanted a photo to record that moment, because that photograph, that sitting on the edge with my feet dangling over the side, over nothing, to me is symbolic of this entire time away. It's symbolic of my faith. The first hike to Taft Point is where I was on the plane when I wrote the report card on myself. The second hike to Taft Point, to sit on the edge, is where I recognize my faith needs to be. It's where I want my faith to be. Now, on the surface of that October day, I was just sitting on the edge of a cliff overlooking Yosemite. But spiritually and emotionally, I was sitting on the edge overlooking the well of the souls. For the Indiana Jones variety, it was actually a misnomer. There were no souls in that cinematic well. There was just lifeless remains. But for me and for you, when we take the time to sit with God or the valley in the cool of the day, we're allowing Him to give us His vision to see the condition of our own soul. Is the well of your soul a broken cistern that holds no living water, as the prophet Jeremiah describes it in his 2nd chapter? And that's where I want to make a few observations today and just share a few of my teachable moments with you. Perhaps something here will connect. First, when I literally sat on the edge, there was a vast empty space, a whole bunch of nothing between me and the valley floor. But when I sat on the edge of my life that day, I had a valley full of questions, full of thoughts, full of frustrations, preponderance. Some of this had been piling up for years. For example, here's a confession. I find more people in church to be boring than one should expect to. I find many worship services boring. Following Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and body is not boring, but sometimes those who say they do are a drag. Boring. And I don't use that word flippantly, nor do I mean to insult anyone, but we are new creations, And we have the river of life, His life, abundant life, supposedly flowing through us. Then why do we spend so much time complaining? Why do a lot of our conversations in our church family sound like the world? Why is there so little fruit of the Holy Spirit evident in our lives? Why could I walk into almost any church in the two denominations that I'm most familiar with and predict the order of the service? I mean, come on, why is three hymns, special music, and a sermon the norm? God is not that boring. God is the creator of everyone and everything. He's made billions plus of us, and He's never made the same person twice. That's creativity. But when we surrender to Him and follow His Son, Jesus Christ, we are each given specific spiritual gifts. You and I may share the same gift, but the gifting is different in each one of us. There is no one who can serve God like you can. There is no one who has God's message quite like you do. The message of truth is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and forever, but the nuances in and through you, in and through me, under God's direction, is off the map. Then why are we so boring? I wonder if perhaps this might explain it. I'm afraid most churches indoctrinate individuals to become like their culture, to assimilate new disciples into becoming just like them because they believe they know the best way to follow Jesus. They've got it figured out. I'm afraid most church leadership tells you how to follow Jesus instead of listening to God's voice through you and listening to how God has gifted you, the gifts He's placed within you, His spiritual gifts that He is growing in His newest followers, and allowing that new wine, that new spirit, that freshness to create new ministries, new avenues of service that have never been attempted before anywhere. If that were truly taking place, there would be no two Baptist churches or Methodist churches or Catholic churches alike. Each church would be a masterpiece instead of a carbon copy of the church down the road who wears the same brand you do. And the boring nature of our churches is just one of the preponderances I've been mulling over of late, probably because it has affected me directly. Here's another confession. I recorded this in my journal while on vacation. These are the words I wrote. I said, "It seems the world, the organized church, others do not want me to be about what you want me to be about, God. I feel a strong magnetic pull to use my spiritual gifts, the gifts you have given me in your kingdom work. I am not what the organized church wants. But this is the spiritual work, the kingdom work you've given me to do. Jesus, I don't know how to accomplish your calling in this. It doesn't fit the latest fashions of Saul's armor. Jesus, here I am. Abba, you know everything you have given, gifted me to do. I am pulled in too many directions. Align these beneath your sovereignty. Align these beneath your purity of heart. Align these beneath willing one will. But it must be your will. It cannot, it must not be a will I forge myself." Even as I wrote out that confession, even as I was saying it out loud right now for anyone who happens to be listening to today's podcast, just the speaking of that allows God to whisper a little more clarity into my situation. This is the benefit of speaking over the well of your soul. Well, the angst I share is not my angst alone. On another podcast by one of my favorite authors, I heard him say how he spent all summer long writing the manuscript for his latest book. He had originally had two book ideas, which he had earlier proposed to his agent. He spent the summer writing his book, the one that was on his heart to write, to find out from his publisher that he wrote the wrong book first. And I just have to question, who's the author here? Who's the Holy Spirit here? Since when did the book publishers and the convention officers become the Holy Spirit? So that kind of nonsense, I say Ichabod. I laughed out loud when I read this quote this summer in a book called Steal Like an Artist. Don't worry about people stealing your ideas. If your ideas are any good, you'll have to ram them down people's throats. That's the truth. And I think that circles back to the boring nature of many Christians. I think believers are boring because they seem to have so little curiosity for good and perfect gifts. They can't see because they don't look. They can't hear because they never pause to consider or listen or wonder where it was that God broke into their world that day and what was the moment they missed when God whispered above the din. I've been trying for a year to get believers to stop and come together and let's look at the Beatitudes, this incredible blessings spoke by Jesus at the very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. Incredible teachings. We could study them for the next year. We would never get to the bottom of them. But I share it with people, and it's just like kind of ho-hum, whatever. And there's been very little genuine curiosity. Now, just so you know, not all my observations carried a negative weight. On my first day in Yosemite, I hiked almost 11 miles on the Cathedral Lakes Trail. Here's what I wrote about it. I said, the solitude and stillness on the hike to Cathedral Lakes was like being enshrouded by a weighted blanket. It was a quiet, thick enough, deep enough to feel. Whether sitting on the edge of a valley full of contemplations or hitting the trail into the wilderness or beneath a grove of sequoia trees, a good hike clears, empties your mind to fill it up again. A long pause on the edge of the well of your soul clears, empties your snags where life has become stuck and led to drift and fills it up again with the breath of God, the moving of God. Not all of God's teachable moments will be discovered in the quiet vacuum between your ears. Sometimes God speaks through His most unlikely prophets. I had driven up to Glacier Point. It's directly across from Half Dome there in Yosemite. And Glacier Point had already turned off their water in their main restroom, their main facilities, in anticipation of the Sierra winter that was soon to come. So I headed to one of several pit toilets around the parking area. And as one became available, out stepped a hippie prophet. I must have said, "How are you?" or something similar, because his response was far out of the blue. He said, and I quote, and I'm trying to get his inflection right, he said, "We choose how everything is. I always choose amazing." Thus saith the Lord, according to his pit toilet hippie prophet. I was so moved, I immediately took notes. How is the well of your soul today? When was the last time you unplugged for a prolonged time with God, with Jesus? When was the last time you became curious enough to pursue God beyond the circumference of your own religious circle? How does God's spiritual gift in you look kind of wild and creative? Well, we'll leave on another Becca Jordan song. The closing of her song, "Everywhere I Go." Until next time.
I have tried to write my own story, looking everywhere I go for my own glory. But the deeper I go, there you are down. Thank you.